All right, Mark 14 and 1, we're going to read through verse 9. It says, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head.
Yeah.
And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whatsoever ye may do to them is good. But me ye not always. You won't always have me, that's what it says. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial of her. You can reach your hands towards me. God, I come to you in the name of Jesus, humbled by your presence, God. I pray, Lord, that you will be with me this morning, Father God. Let my words be clear. Father God, hide me behind your cross one more time, Lord Jesus, just to do what you want me to do, God. Father, I pray that you will be my mouthpiece, Lord, and let every word that is spoken out of my mouth be filtered through you, God. Because I know, Lord Jesus, that without you, Lord, my words are just noise, God. But with you comes power. With you comes anointing. With you comes the power to break chains and break down bondage, God. So I pray that you will move today, that you will do a work, Lord God, and let me not get in your way, Father Jesus, but you do whatever it is that you see fit to do. In your mighty name I pray. Amen. Now put your hands together. I didn't come here to listen about this slow story, but I came here to shout, I came here to run, I came here to get my freedom. But I would say that if you would just hear what God has to say, that you can get that same freedom. See, I believe that today's church has gotten so caught up in the shout, and they've gotten so caught up in the emotion of what it is to be a Christian, and the emotion of what church brings, and what a relationship with God brings, that we get caught up and we start to worship the emotion instead of the one who brings the emotion.
Come on, come on.
So I want to take a step back, and I've already said it, but I didn't come to this Pentecost Sunday to get something from God, but I came to give God something. And in Mark, we're met with a woman, and it says it's Simon the leper's house. See, Jesus came and he was there and he was tired, so he sat down. The Bible, later on we'll see that the Bible says that he was reclining in a seat. And there were people there, there were scribes, and there were all these, we'll say, religious folks there in this house with him. And also with them was his disciples. And they were sitting there, and here comes a woman through the door who was not invited to this feast. This woman was not even allowed to be there, for she was a sinner. And she was not allowed to be there because she was a sinner. I'm going to fix this to make my 80s really crazy. So she was a sinner. And the Bible says that she came in the door. and was crying hysterically. She was broken, torn apart, and a lot like some of us. The only difference is she didn't put on a pretty face. She made it known that she was broken. See, this was Jesus. This wasn't just an ordinary prophet. This was Jesus. This was the one she had heard about. The one who made deaf ears open. This was the one who made blind eyes see. This was the one who raised Lazarus from the dead. I heard one guy say that it might have been Mary's, it might have been Lazarus's sister. I don't know if that's true, but if it was, she knew that he could do what he could do.
Right.
So she came to him broken, knowing that he was the man that she had to get a hold of. See, she was a sinner. She wasn't involved in this crowd that was in this room. She wasn't invited to this room with Jesus and the disciples and the higher-ups of the church at that time. And when she walked in, I can imagine the fear that struck her heart, the fear that struck her mind as she opened up the door and sees these religious folks just staring at her, wondering, and the murmurs begin to happen. What is she doing here? Why is she here? She's not supposed to be here. Jesus is here. She cannot be here. Someone get her out. And it sounds a lot like today's church.
Come on.
Because someone walks in who's broken and we see it, and it's on the exterior, not just the interior. But they walk in broken because they heard one time that church was the place you go to get set free, because Jesus was the one you had to get a hold of to get set free, and that's 100% true. But the religiousness of the church today gets in the way of their deliverance, gets in the way of their breakthrough. We see them come in, and they might smell like smoke, and they might smell like they haven't bathed in a couple of days, and they sit down next to us, and we stoop down a few times so that we don't have to sit next to them. We don't have to associate with them. But Jesus saw her. And us as church people that go to church, the body, we like to cover things up. See, we're dealing with the same things that they're dealing with, but we cover it up. We make it pretty. The old saying is, put lipstick on a pig. We put lipstick on a pig and come to church and make it seem like everything's okay, but inside we're torn and we're broken. And then we sit in our pew and sit on the presence of God because we're too scared of what other people will say. But this woman, not her. See, she was broken, and she knew she was broken. She was, I can imagine she was wandering throughout the streets on her way to this place, but she knew that Jesus was going to be. And as she's wandering, there's probably people saying, look at her, she's broken. Look at her, she's a mess. Look at her, where does she think she's going? As she made her way to the doorstep, she sat there, and I can imagine before she opened the door, she stood at that door and contemplated, should I go in here? A lot like some people today, when they woke up and knew that it was Sunday, they contemplated, should I go to church? And the enemy began to fight her and say, don't go in there. You're not allowed there. You're not allowed in that place. The Messiah is in there. You can't go in there looking the way that you do. You can't go in there sung the way that you do. You can't go in there the way that you acted yesterday, last week, a month ago. He's already forgotten about you. You have no place at a table with Jesus. And she opened up the door and made that step. But the Bible says that she had an alabaster box full of ointment. And for the sake of me not having anything, we're going to use Abercrombie and Fitch. So she had that ointment in this box, and it was so precious. A lot of women would hold this until they were married and would give it to their husbands because it was worth everything to them. This wasn't just any kind of ointment that you got from the store, but this was expensive. I've heard some say that it was worth a year's wage. I've heard some say it was worth a day's wage. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It was expensive.
Right.
It was expensive, but the thing is that ointment of alabaster in its raw form is very cheap. Did you know that you can go and you can order alabaster for about $40? But it's when it begins to get strength. It's when it begins to get broken, when it begins to get cracked, when it begins to get hurt and bruised, that that oil comes out, and that's the expensive part. It's not the alabaster in general, but it's the stuff that comes from the alabaster. So the moment that it begins to be scraped, and the moment that it begins to be bruised, and it begins to show signs of hurting and brokenness, is the moment that it begins to be expensive. So I've come today to tell you that you may be broken. You may be scraped. You may walk into this place bruised. But I say let it go, because that is the time that your price tag begins to go up. The moment that the enemy comes into your life and he begins to bruise you, beat you, break you, is the moment that Jesus comes in and says, that right there is what I need. That's what I need, because I got something for that. There's someone down the road who needs to hear about that hurting. There's someone down the road who needs to hear about that brokenness. There's someone down the road who needs to hear about that addiction. There's someone down the road who needs to hear about that heartache that you're going through. That's the expensive part. And when Jesus looks at you, he doesn't see your flaws, but he sees what your flaws can do. He sees what he can do with your flaws, because just like I already said, the Bible says that he'll take what the enemy meant for evil, that hurt, that pain, that bitterness, that brokenness, that addiction, that suicidal thoughts, that depression. He'll take that and he'll flip it for his own good, because it was the alabaster is what they were after. It was the alabaster that was expensive. See, she took everything that she had. This was worth all that she had ever made, all that she had ever given. It was put into this box of alabaster, and she took it, and she said, I gotta give to Jesus. I don't have much to give to him, but I know I have what's in this box. And this box might not mean much to Shane, it might not mean much to Will, but this box is everything that I've got. This box is everything that I know that I've ever been through. This box is everything that I've gone through, that I'm going through. And if I can just get to the feet of Jesus and begin to give this box to Jesus, then I know that something will come from my heartache. That something will come from my pain. That something will come from the hurt and the anguish and the disgust that I've been through. If I can just make it to the feet of Jesus. So I come today to ask you a question. What will you give up? Turn to your neighbor and say, what will you give up?
What will you give up?
See, we come in as church folk, and we're scared to allow the wrongness to show up. We're scared to allow what we've gone through to be revealed, because we're so scared that someone in their religiosity will, I don't even know if that's a word, if it's a word, I'm wrong with it. The religiosity will look at our brokenness, will look at our fear, will look at what we're dealing with, and will say, well, they're not worthy to be at that altar. They're not worthy to be at the feet of Jesus. And that's what Mary was, that's what the woman was dealing with. That's what the woman was dealing with as she walked through the door and she saw these religious people and even the disciples. As she walked forward with that alabaster and tears filled her eyes, because she knew that she was a sinner, and she knew that if she could just get to the feet of Jesus, that everything was going to be okay. And that's what people do today. They walk into church and they think, if I can just get into the feet of Jesus, they're not worried about what they look like. They might come in short. Some people today have an issue because I got a beard standing up here preaching. Some people today have an issue because I got jeans and Nikes on instead of a suit. To each their own. It's all about that, but it's about the heart.
Yeah.
And her heart was not focused on what she looked like, what she'd been through, but her heart was focused on getting to the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
And getting whole.
Amen.
And as she walked, the murmurs began to happen. And the disciples began to say, what is this person doing? She can't do that after being with Jesus and all that they've seen. After seeing the woman fight through the crowd to touch that hem. After seeing Jesus spit on the ground and make mud and heal the blinded eye. After seeing the brokenness come to Jesus and behold, they still murmured. They still murmured, but it wasn't the fact that she was there, but it was the moment that she opened up that ointment. She broke open that box and began to pour it out on Jesus' feet, that it really began to take place. And the higher up said, what is she doing? What are they doing? And they spoke up and they said, why did she waste the ointment? She just wasted it. The Bible says that she poured it on his head and that the tears cleaned his feet and she dried his feet with her hair. This was just before Judas was going to go and betray him. This is just before he was about to go through the biggest torture that anyone on earth has ever went through. And she was just worried about getting to his feet. And I can't imagine she knew what all he was about to go through. I don't imagine anyone knew what all he was about to go through. But I believe that Jesus knew. And I believe that he saw the sacrifice in her heart as she got down on her knees and began to cry tears. And they welled up soap and made pools on his feet and he began to dry it. And I can imagine, I heard a guy say before, what if she dried his feet with her hair, how long did that smell of that ointment stay in her hair? When Jesus was hanging on that cross, could she smell it? And go back to the time that Jesus set her free. Could she go back to that time where she put everything aside, all that she was going through, and allowed Jesus and her to be the only one in the room? See, I believe that everything the crowd was yelling and wondering what she was doing, but the moment that she knelt down at his feet, I believe silence happened in her mind. I believe that at that moment she was at the feet of Jesus, and it was just her and Jesus. At that moment, and she said, I don't care what they have to say because I know that this is where I'm going to be made. I don't care what they have to say because I know that this is the place that I have to be. And I come to tell you today that if you don't know where you're supposed to be, you come to the right place, because anywhere where you can find yourself at the feet of Jesus is the place that you need to be, because at the feet of Jesus, everything ceases. If you can find yourself in a place where it's just you and Jesus, everything makes sense. See, she was broken and weeping with nothing more to give than what was in that box. What was in that box, and she said, I'm going to give everything. I don't have a lot. This might not mean something a lot to everyone here, but this is everything that I've got. This is everything I've got. See, the box itself wasn't the important part. It was what was inside of the box that made the box priceless. It was because what was inside of the box that made her have to think twice about where she put it. Made her think twice about what she was going to use it for. It made her think twice about losing it. It made her think twice about what it was, because it was all of her earnings in that one thing. And I can imagine she had dreamed that one day she would marry a husband and she would give it to her husband like everyone else did. But God had a different plan. God had a different plan for her because she was broken and she needed healed. And God said, hey, don't worry about giving this to your husband. Just give it to me and I'll give you everything else that you need at that time. See, she was broken and willing to pour it all out over Jesus, simply because she had heard what he had done. She had heard of him opening blind eyes and making the dumb speak and the lame walk. Because all of them just showed up. All of these people that Jesus performed these miracles, who found themselves at the feet of Jesus when things happened. She knew if I could just get to the feet of Jesus, she could get healed and whole. She wasn't looking through what she'd been through. She wasn't looking through the brokenness as she was walking towards Jesus. She wasn't looking through the distraction. She wasn't looking through the bitterness. She wasn't looking through the depression. Does it sound like anyone today? She wasn't looking through all that was going on in life. And if we can get to a point to where we come into the house, not to get something from Jesus, but to give something to Jesus, and look through not the lens of what this world says, not the lens of bitterness, not the lens of depression, of anxiety, but if we can look through the lens of Jesus and see a whole, and just get to a place to where it's us and Jesus and at the feet, then I know that I can be whole. And these people said, what is she doing? What is she doing? See, when I read the Gospels, I don't like to just take one Gospel. I like to read them because there's some good stuff in all of them. And when there's a story in a couple different ones, I like to read it in each account because there's some stuff missed. So if we can go to Luke 7 and 36, we're going to read the same story in Luke. And it says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box full of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with her hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner this woman is that touched him, for she is a sinner. Does that sound like anyone? And Jesus answered, saying to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. And we go into a parable that Jesus goes into just to kind of quiet the crowd down. And Jesus said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I enter into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with her hair on her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet.
Yeah.
My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at the meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sin also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go on. See, it was custom that when you walked into a house that they gave you water to clean your feet, but they didn't do that. It was custom to greet someone with a kiss, but they didn't do that. See, they were so caught up in being religious, so caught up in being this all, being that Jesus is in my house. He came to my house and I asked him to come. I believe that if this woman never showed up throughout the next week, they probably wouldn't have walked around and said, Jesus was at my house. Jesus showed up at my house. You should have heard the service. You should have seen the service we had. People were shouting. People were climbing the pews. People were running. People were slaying out. We were dancing. But did anyone go home free?
Come on.
See, the woman showed up and shook everything that had happened there. See, if the woman never showed up, it would have just been another meeting. But because the woman showed up and Jesus saw her brokenness, things began to happen. Right. It was because of her obedience that began to happen. And it only takes one to step out in obedience for things to begin to happen. So I come today to say, on Pentecost Sunday, you might be broken, you might be hurt, and you might come to Pentecost Sunday saying, I don't feel like shouting, I don't feel like jumping, I don't feel like climbing the pews. I've come to say good, because Jesus doesn't ask you to do that. He asks you to just give him everything that you got. He said, give me the box of for it to be true. But I want your heart. I want what's down deep in the deepest depths of your heart. Your brokenness. I want to see the rawness of who you are. I want to see the openness of who you are. If you come into this place and you say, I'm addicted, I believe that God wants to see the addiction on your heart, because then he can begin to break that free. If you're depressed, I believe that God wants to see the depression on your heart, because he can begin to break that and give you a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory, a peace that's everlasting. See, he's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And far before, like Will said, you were ever formed in your mother's womb. The Bible says in Jeremiah that he knew you and he had a good plan for you, a plan to prosper you and not for an immediate end, but a plan to get you from point A to point B. I'm paraphrasing. He said, I'm going to get you from where you're at to where I'm taking you. I'm going to get you from where you're at to the glory. And if you just hold on to me, if you just find yourself at the feet of the Master, if you just find yourself at the feet of Jesus, then all the sin will go away. Then all the hurt will go away. Then all the depression will go away. You might find yourself tomorrow with it knocking on the door of your heart. But I believe to tell, I come to tell you that Jesus never leaves, because the Bible says that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And if depression comes knocking, all you have to do is hold on to that. Because she dried his feet with her hair. And even though she might have looked the same on the outward, on the inside, she was different. And I believe that if you come today saying, I'm willing to pour out everything that I've got, I'm willing to give everything that I've got, tomorrow you might physically look the same and people might see you the same, but I come to tell you that on the inside there could be a difference. Not a difference on the inside, there could be a change, and you might not think the same way. And I begin to think about all that I've gone through in my life and all that I've learned in church in my life, and how that you're supposed to dress a certain way, you're supposed to act a certain way. And I come this morning saying, God, why?
Hallelujah.
I believe that there should be order, but sometimes we've got to get undignified. This woman came with tears flowing through her eyes. She's been through enough. She had gone through enough. The hurt was very present when she opened that door. She didn't cover it up. And if us as a body can get to the place to where we don't cover up our hurt, we don't cover up our sin, but we come to Jesus saying, I don't have much, God, but what I do have, you can give it. I give it to you.
Amen.
To some, it might not look like much, but it's everything to me.
Right.
And sure, there might be some that look at you and say, what are you doing? But they don't know what it took to get there.
Right.
They don't know what that cost. See, you might look at me this morning and say, he's got it all together, but you don't know what it took to get to this place. You don't know the hell that I had to go through to get to the place where I'm at right now, where I can lay my head down at night and say, God, I know that your peace will hold me. When I'm going through a bad day and depression seems to creep back up on me, I can say, depression, you're not here. Peace is here. And although it lingers around, I can hold on to that peace because I can smell that ointment in the hair. I can smell it. Because you weren't there the night that I was standing on that dryer ready to end everything. You weren't there that night that I said, God, I don't want this anymore. If I can't feel you, I don't want anything. You weren't there the night that numbness came over my body and I felt nothing at all. You weren't there the night that I finally had to convince myself that this world was not worth living for. In my basement, standing there while my parents were asleep and my sister was asleep, dealing with everything by myself, because religion says you can't go to church broken. Because religion says you can't show everyone what you're going through. Men just tuck it away. You're a man, suck it up. You're a man, hold it in. But me holding it in, found myself on a dryer, ready to give it all. Because I couldn't hold it in anymore. If I just would have read the alabaster box, I would have seen that brokenness will bring freedom.
Yeah.
That obedience will bring breakthrough. hold it in is the moment that the enemy wins. Because through my brokenness, people can be saved. Through my addictions, people can be set free. Through my hurt, hearts can be made whole. And I found myself on a dryer, willing to give it all. But it wasn't until I took that step to end my life that I found myself on a concrete floor. The feet of Jesus. And I felt those arms come around me. On a concrete floor, it felt so much better than the bed that I was laying in. I found myself asleep on a concrete floor in a damp basement. Feeling the most at peace that I have ever felt in my life. I found myself at the feet of Jesus. After just going to do what everyone said was the worst thing that you could do. All because I wasn't willing to show my hurt. I wasn't willing to show that I looked in the mirror and saw someone that wasn't worth living. I wasn't willing to show the fact that when I woke up, I worried what people were going to say. I wasn't willing to show the fact that when I walked down the halls of school, I made sure that my feet were straight, because what if someone saw that I was walking a certain way and made fun of me? And it's funny, but this is true. This is real. I wasn't willing to open up my heart and let God heal the deep parts of my life. Because what will people say? What will people say if the kid that goes to church is hurting? What will people say if the kid that goes to church is broken? But I've come today to ask you, what will you give up to find yourself at the feet of Jesus? She gave everything she had. She gave everything that she had. But when I found myself on that concrete floor, it didn't matter what my family said. It didn't matter what those who looked at me said. It didn't matter what anyone said at that moment, because I was broken. And it showed. It's the first time in my life I was willing to say, Jesus, here I am. And today you might walk in here and you might see the brokenness on your exterior. I would say you found yourself in a good place, because at the feet of Jesus, he can heal that. But to those of you that walked into this place, and you put on your good clothes, and you came to church because it's Pentecost Sunday, and you came to shout, the moment that you open up and allow that brokenness to appear, then the shouting begins. Because we can shout in here and walk home still broken. Or we can be real in here and shout all the way home. See, I would rather be real in here and get freedom and shout on my way home than shout in here, still bonded, still broken, and go home and lay my head down and wonder, how am I going to get up tomorrow? How am I going to get through this next couple days? You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to look a certain way. You don't have to act a certain way. You just got to find yourself at the feet of Jesus. He'll take care of everything else after that. There's not a certain prayer you've got to pray. You just got to say, Jesus, here I am. She didn't say anything. The Bible doesn't say that she said anything, but the tears said everything.
Right. Come on.
Her actions said everything. And sometimes we walk into church with words that mean nothing, and actions that say the complete opposite of what our words are saying. But I believe if we will just act first and say, God, here's my actions. My actions are giving everything to you. My actions are saying, God, whatever you want from me, whatever you got from me, God, I have this plan that's in my life and in my mind of what I want to do with my life, God, but at this point, I don't care because my plan has gotten me absolutely nowhere. At this point, God, if you have something different that's going to be better for me, then let's change it all up. That's the action. And no matter where you go, no matter what you do, I don't care what church you go in, what church you find yourself sitting in, there will always be people saying, you should have done this different. You should have done this better. And I have proof. And here's your Pentecost Sunday. If you go to Acts 2, in verse 13, it says, others mocking said this, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. Even in the upper room.
Hallelujah.
Jeff preached about it last week where the fire was on their head. They were still religious people.
Right.
Saying these people were drunk. They've lost their mind.
Right.
They have absolutely gone mad. They've gone crazy. This is not God. This isn't God. God wouldn't move like this. He wouldn't do this. He wouldn't allow this to happen. But Peter spoke up. Just like Jesus spoke up when the disciples and the religious people in that room were trying to come against the woman. And Peter spoke up like Jesus did and said, these people ain't drunk, it's but the third hour. But this is what Joel talked about. And I believe it all started because a woman who they never gave a name found herself at the feet of Jesus. And if you go back to Mark. In the last verse, verse 9, it says, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also, that this woman that everyone said shouldn't be there, this woman, this sinner, that everyone said she didn't have no place at the feet of Jesus, everyone said she shouldn't be in a room with Jesus, that same woman, Jesus said, the whole world, this also that she hath done for me will be spoken in memorial.
Amen.
And guess what? Over 2,000 years, we're still talking about the woman with the issue of blood. We're not talking about the sinner that walked in and knelt at Jesus' feet. We're not talking about the what she was, but we're talking about what she done. She's known as the woman with the alabaster box. Not as the sinner who came to Jesus. Because it was her heart and it was her actions that she put forth saying, I just got to get to the feet of Jesus and I'll be made whole. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Go on. And she was known from that point on as the woman with the alabaster box. Tonight, today, if you come in here and you say, I'm broken, you can come and find yourself at the feet of Jesus. You say, I'm addicted. This is why this might Russell Simpkins. So I have an issue with what AA says when you say, I'm an alcoholic. The moment you find yourself at the feet of Jesus and he says, your sins are forgiven, you're no longer an alcoholic. You may be dealing with something, but you're not an alcoholic. You're a child of the Most High God. You're no longer an addict. You're a child of the Most High God. You're no longer depressed. You're a child of the Most High God because at the feet of Jesus, he says, your sins are no more. Go on. People that come in contact with Jesus and find themselves at the feet of Jesus don't leave the same way. They don't leave the same way that they came in. They don't leave addicted. They don't leave broken. They don't leave bound by depression, but they leave whole and restored. They might deal with it, but that's not their identity anymore. So today, you might come into this place and you might say, I'm broken. I'm hurting. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. It was a fight just to get up and get here. I fought to get up to come to church. I fought to pull in the parking lot. I thought I'd just drive right on past, no one will see my car. I fought to park my car. I thought I'd just whip right back out of this parking lot. No one will even know. I fought to get out of my car. I fought to go into church. I fought to lift my hands. I fought to worship Jesus. I fought to do anything. I'm fighting right now to listen to this guy talk. I'm fighting to understand that at the feet of Jesus, everything is whole. All you got to do is find yourself there. Jesus takes care of the rest. Just find yourself there. Broken. Hurting. The same brokenness and hurting that she had when she walked through the door was the same brokenness and hurting that she's had whenever she knelt down, but at that point it didn't matter. At that point she was so focused on being at the feet of Jesus. And her mind don't matter when you're at the feet of Jesus. Because at the feet of Jesus, silence speaks for you. Feet of Jesus, you don't even have to say anything because his presence is there moving. And we know how the story ends because he was anointing Jesus. She was anointing Jesus to go on and die for us. She didn't know that he was going to be brutally beaten. To where he was so unrecognizable, no one even knew who he was if they hadn't seen him. We were riding in the car yesterday, maybe Friday. And Mary looked at me and he said, Dad. I said, yeah. I said, did Jesus have to carry that cross? I said, yes, he did. He said, well, why? It's because they made it. I begin to think and ponder how. How do you do this? She didn't know that this man who she just poured this ointment on, washed his feet with the tears, weeping. I can imagine the sound as she was on her knees, weeping at his feet. She didn't know that he was going to be brutally beaten. Have to carry this cross that I wouldn't even be able to pick up. This mountain hang there for you and for me and for her. She didn't understand the meaning of the words when he said, you're forgiven. Go. If you don't understand the words, when Jesus says you're forgiven, you don't know what that means, what that truly means. And you've been forgiven at an altar before, but you walked out still bonded with your sin. You walked out still identifying with what you were before you were forgiven. I've come today to tell you to find yourself at the feet of Jesus one more time. But don't identify with yourself when you leave the same way you came in. Because the Bible says that who the Son made free It's free indeed. And he come to give you life, but not give you life, but give it more abundantly. That means being able to wake up and smile, although all of hell is coming against you. That's saying, be able to say, I'm going to have peace. Even though there's so much heartache going on, that's being able to have joy and find joy when depression has so struck in you that you haven't slept in 4 days. That's being able to find healing when your body's so hurt and bruised that you can't even get out of the bed. That's being able to find the good when this world says you should be dead. It's being able to stand on the dryer and say, I'm done. Find yourself on the concrete moments later, so wrapped up in Jesus that I find myself asleep on the floor. Wake up the next day refreshed, renewed, and ready to take on the world. It's not about how you came in here, but it's about how you're going to leave. I don't care if you were at the bar last night. I don't care what you did last night. I don't care where you slept, who you slept with. Just find yourself at the feet of Jesus and everything will be okay. He'll transform you later on down the road. Just find yourself at the feet of Jesus saying, I know I'm broken and I know I'm worth fixing, God. And my mind says I'm not worth fixing, but I know that you're willing to do it. So if you will you? Jesus, I look in the mirror. And I don't like what I see. In my mind, I'm not worth it. But Jesus paid it all. When he hung on that cross and he saw you and he saw me. And just like that alabaster, Jesus sat there with every whip and every cut and every bruise that he received. The price for your life, the price for my life, just went up. Because he took it and he said, this one's for Connor. This one's for Shane. This one's for Mandy. Oh, he said, if it can, let this cup pass for me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. God, if I can I just sit in this pew, please? I've been there. God, can I please just keep this to me, myself? God, you can have all this stuff, but can I please just keep this one thing? No. God, you can have the depression, you can have the anxiety, but God, can I just keep this abandonment, please? I'm not ready to give it up yet. God, these people don't know what I've been through. They don't know how many nights I've cried myself to sleep over this situation. When you come to a place where you're truly broken, it doesn't matter. You open it up and say, God, you can have everything. Because it sees your heart. They won't come to the music. He sees your heart until today. Like I said, I'd much rather get it right in here and shout on the way home. God, I'm done with the fake. I'm done with the mask. I'm done with trying to look pretty. But God, I'm going to reveal everything. And if people say stuff, then people say stuff. But God, I'm going to go home free. I'm going to walk out of this place whole. So I'm going to do this the only way that I know how, if everyone will stand up to their feet. If everyone would just close their eyes and bow their head. Today you might say, God, I don't even know who this Jesus is that you're talking about. But I can see myself in that woman. this Jesus is that you're talking about. But I can see myself in your brokenness and being ready to commit it all. Tonight you say, Connor, I don't know who this Jesus is. But you say, if I can find myself at his feet, then it'll get better. I want to do that. That's you today. You say, I don't know who this Jesus is, but I desire to know who he is. And I want today to be the last day that I see myself as broken. I see myself as addicted. I see myself as depressed. I want you to raise your hand. No more looking around. Every eye, head bowed and eyes closed.